korkun korku trap sonsun. Trap sonsun trap donsun. Түүний сонсдог хөгжим дур булаа. Дадаж дуудан дур булаа мууруулаа.
Hey, we're welcome to a brand new MMA Roasted podcast. It's going to be a great show today. We got TJ Laramie, just won his fight to get on the Contender Series. We got a great show. We have a comic, Josh Johnson, who is a writer for The Daily Show with Trevor Noah, and he's a funny guy. I actually, a lot of times with comics, you're like, but this dude is hilarious. Not that I'm like, but it's just... as a comic, I'm a little jaded towards other comics. Not jaded, but I just like it takes a lot to make me laugh.
Yeah,
because I could also see where the person's coming from and see what's going on. And I've heard like billions of jokes, but this dude's funny, really funny. So I'm excited to talk to him. Cool. We got Jake Ellenberger, who is one of the best ever, one of my favorite comics, and we have Kai Boy, who is awesome. Just won his fight. Got into the UFC from Hawaii, badass fighter, also a wrestler in college, state champ of Hawaii. His dad's a martial artist. His brother plays, I think, wide receiver for University of Hawaii. Dude, just fucking born legacy. But let's talk about Jake Ellenberger and his weird mustache. Jake, it just keeps getting weird. what's going on? It feels like it's like Survivor Jake's face, and your mustache just keeps like getting voted off your face.
I mean, it's either shave it or let it go. You know what I mean?
You got to shave it. I like it. Fuck it. It's different.
I think it looks badass. It looks like you've been in like a battle or something. You survived like a battle axe to the face, you know?
A battle with a Mach 3?
actually a bear claw. I got one of the,
I like it.
That's what it looks like.
We got a lot of news in the last couple days, actually since Monday. First of all, Anthony Johnson has entered the USADA pool again at 205, which this dude has been in more weight classes than the Kardashian sisters, Christina Aguilera. He started off at 170. Like, he had never actually made it, but that was his first weight. He fought Koscheck at 170 and 170. Then he balloons up to like, we kept missing it. Then at 205. Then at one point, he was like, I think he was like 310, all muscle, like bodybuilder. This is a 6 months ago, and now he's gonna be 205. A dangerous man, though. I mean, Anthony Johnson, I feel like when he's mentally there, when he's not, I know his last fight against DC didn't go very well, but I think his trainer left or something happened with him and Henry Hooft, and it was just one of those weird situations where the Black Zillions disbanded, and it was just all kinds of turmoil. And I think he looks at his trainer as like a father figure, and it was a mess, right? But when Anthony Johnson's on his game, the dude, like, look what he did to Phil Davis. I mean, he is a Ryan Bader. And look how good I mean, he's just knocking people the fuck out. He's a monster. When he's there, Jake.
No, for sure. I mean, it's funny when you're saying about his weight. I sat next to him at a UFC probably like 6 or 8 months ago. But yeah, he was big. He looked big. I was like, God damn, he's a.
But not even like fat big. Just like,
no, I know, no, like lean. But he looked big. I was like, God damn, this dude can lift a house.
Like, I really thought that he was the worst matchup for John Jones for a while, before the DC fights.
I know.
And even the first DC fight, I think he almost had him out quickly. He hit him once. DC didn't know where he was.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I remember that fight.
But I thought that this dude could match up well against John Jones because he doesn't have amazing wrestling. He's a college wrestler, but he's got great defense. He's hard to take down.
Yeah.
Johnson, sure. Unless you're Daniel Cormier. He hits so hard. His stamina could be a problem sometimes. Like, it seems like he could gas a little bit, but mentally is what his issue is. Either he shows up or he doesn't. But when he does, wow.
Oh, yeah. It's scary.
He's a problem.
He's a guy, too. Like, I mean, it's kind of like where you're talking about where you're at. If you're in a good mental space, you know, where you're comfortable, you see guys even go up in weight class and sometimes do better because they don't have all that extra stress, that weight cutting stress, you know, just. I mean, obviously, as you get older, it's like, you know, you're getting older and metabolism slowing down, that kind of thing. It's like, if he's comfortable and
He's hitting harder than O'Malley's bong. I mean, he hits people so hard that Joe Biden remembers where he is. Like, that's how hard he hits people.
That's pretty hard, dude.
But I'm excited for Anthony Johnson because he's almost never in – have you ever seen a boring fight that Anthony Johnson was in? Never.
No, right?
I mean, has he ever – he's never been in a boring fight, ever. Yeah.
I thought he was going to be in bare knuckle boxing. It's so strange. For the past like 50 bare knuckle boxing events, he's like been like some like figure there. Like he's like standing in the back. It's like there's like this big anticipation like that he was going to fight in BKFC, and it just never happened.
Yeah, I think that something was weird about that. I mean, then they were trying to like lure him in, and I think he was like, you know what? I mean, he would have killed somebody, or he would have broken his hands in the first eight seconds. And
it's probably a matter of like terms and pay if they're going to pay him what he wants. I don't know, but
yeah.
But anyway, he's coming back to the UFC. Is what you're saying?
He signed with. He's back in the USADA testing pool.
Okay.
At 205, he's coming back. So he's slimmed down. I don't see how you. I mean, look. I even talked to Chuck Liddell over the weekend about Mike Tyson, and I was like, "How does Tyson? At one point he looked like Precious, right? And now the guy looks like. How does he do that? And he was like, Chuck Liddell was explaining to me that. When you're that type of athlete, and like he is, you can get in shape really fast.
Yeah, you don't need any performance-enhancing drugs or steroids.
No, but he said that like even Chuck, he said he loses 20 pounds, he's ripped again, he's shredded. And I guess with Tyson, the same way. I guess certain people could just do that, huh?
Well,
not me.
I mean, there's some guys with like freak metabolism, and when they start training or getting into a good routine. Which, Mike's been working out for a while. You've seen him, his workout videos and training and stuff like that. But, again, I have no idea. I mean, I'm not going to make any accusations or assumptions, but
the guy looks good. Well, answer me this, right? Because your old coach was Cordero, right?
Yeah.
So he's training with Cordero for a boxing match with Roy Jones Jr. Now, Cordero is mostly – is he a boxing instructor? Is he a kickboxing instructor? What is Cordero primarily?
Yeah, he's traditional Muay Thai and kickboxing.
So why is he? Why would he pick him to train him?
I don't know, to be honest. I think he, I don't know. I mean, I think it's more of let's get in shape, let's get a routine going, and I don't know. But as far as like,
you think maybe the Brazilian supplements, like he has a link to people that have Brazilian? No,
I don't think so.
Okay, all right, all right, okay, all right, fine. All right, so now John Jones retired at 205. He's relinquishing his belt. He didn't say he's not going to heavyweight. He says, I'm retired. I'm focusing on my true love, cocaine. So he's retiring at 205. Now, so what does that mean? I think they're trying to make Stipe versus John Jones.
That's what I heard. I heard that Dana White gave John Jones an ultimatum where he could either do a rematch with Dominic Reyes at 205 or go up to heavyweight and fight for the title against Stipe Miocic, which I think is what everybody wants. I don't really want to see John Jones just stick around. I'd like to see the Dominic Reyes rematch, of course, because I think Reyes won that fight, but like, if he beats Reyes again, it's like, what the hell are you going to do? You've beat literally every 205-pound human being on the planet. You got to go to heavyweight, And who knows how many fights he has left, too.
And let's keep it real. Like, at the end of the day, it comes down to pay-per-view draw. Are you selling pay-per-views? And, I mean, there's a lot more compelling fights at heavyweight than a Stipe or, fill in the blank versus DC or versus John Jones at heavyweight. It could be a much bigger pay-per-view. No disrespect to, a Reyes or that's not as big of a fight. I mean, how long are you going to fight? Let's talk about this
because I don't know who wins the Stipe John Jones fight. At one point, I was thought that Jones was a terrible matchup for Stipe as far as like Jones is going to beat Stipe. But Jones has not been looking like the John Jones that was walking through everybody as of late. I mean, he people thought he lost his last fight. The fight before it, didn't the guy tear his ACL or something and still
went Thiago Santos? Yeah.
Santos kind of
like
went
the first round.
Yeah. It wasn't ACL, but it was some kind of a weird injury, right?
Yeah, with his knee.
So this is a different – this is not the John Jones that was destroying everybody and even doing those crazy things. Now, he's winning. He's a winner. He's a winner. But Stipe Miocic, John Jones, is a very interesting fight. I don't even know who I pick in this fight. That's why I want to see it. Isn't that why you want to see these fights? But let's break it down, right? So we're going to go striking. I guess John Jones is a better striker if you with kicks. But boxing, yeah. I would say Stipe. He was a Golden Gloves champion. Wrestling, you got to go to John Jones, although Stipe was a college wrestler.
Yeah. Me personally, I'm actually leaning towards Stipe in this fight because it's like timeout is never a good thing. You know, just let's talk about momentum is a real thing. And, I mean, Stipe, he keeps getting – he's put in the spotlight in these big fights, these massive fights, and he keeps winning. And, I mean, he looked good against DC, which DC is a – no, that's a tough matchup for anybody, even Jones. You know, he's had some big fights. But I'm leaning towards Stipe at heavyweight, man. I really am. I think there's something to be said about momentum.
But, like, where do you – let's go – I know this is it's weird to do that, but, like, where do you rank – okay, so we rank striking. Do we all agree that Jones has a favor or we do the Stipe?
Jones,
because he has got unconventional striking that kind of
flies. Overall striking, yeah, but boxing, yeah, Stipe.
So we're going to go grappling. I mean, he's only a blue belt, John Jones, but he submits everybody. I mean, when he does these jiu-jitsu competitions, I don't think he's ever lost. Are we going John Jones or Stipe in grappling?
I go Stipe in grappling.
In jiu-jitsu?
Yeah.
In wrestling?
I don't think John Jones is going to try to take this fight to the ground. I mean, if Stipe can go in there and have three fights with Daniel Cormier, who's like the best wrestler in MMA, I think, you know, Stipe has his good enough credentials.
But we look at John Jones knocked out DC, which I guess Stipe did too the second time. And he also, I mean, man, this is a tough one. Because it's like,
tough.
So we go wrestling, MMA wrestling. I guess we go John Jones in MMA wrestling.
Yeah. Yeah, because, you know, John Jones has vicious, vicious ground and pound too. And I don't know. I don't remember the last time we saw Stipe do crazy ground and pound. I think it was like, with Alistair.
It's like DC. It's like, yeah, he's got great wrestling when he chooses to use it.
Isn't right. It? Yeah. We go time served. That's John Jones, right? it's going to be – it's good. I love it when I can't pick a fight. That's my favorite thing because that's when I'm like – that's when you want to see a fight. That's why we make these fights. So
I would still like to see John Jones at heavyweight, though. I think that is more interesting to me. I'll watch him at heavyweight. 205, you know, it's all right. It's not as compelling.
So they made the Black Beast versus Curtis Blaydes.
I love it.
I got Blaydes all day.
Yeah.
Wrestling. Black Beast, it's just...
I'm with you. It's weird. I've had so many fights where I'm like, all right, this is the guy. Like, he's, you know, Black Beast is toast. You know what I mean? And he finds a way to win. They're, literally, it's like... It's hard to just talk about skills because it's like... He's not... The Beast is not the most skilled guy, but... Man, the guy, he can explode. He keeps getting better. He's been fighting more. He gets better, lose a little bit of weight, gets a little bit quicker. But, man, every time I bet against him, he wins. So
I know. He's one of those dudes. Like, exactly. Kind of like that with me. Like, Ben Rothwell is like that for me. Rothwell wins fights, and I'm like, he's not going to win this fight. Even like Josh Barnett, he's not going to beat Josh Barnett. And then he makes him tap to a titty choke. I mean, literally, I've never seen a guy mush his tits together and fucking Barnett to tap. And Barnett's
he does have a mean five-finger guillotine. Like, he's been doing it forever. But that was a very odd joke. But
I've had women try to do it to me during bed. Now, here's this thing. So enough with the tweets on the screen. It was funny at first. It was cool at first. Now they're getting ridiculous about it, okay? One thing, if it's like the champ, the guy he's fighting, like calls him out, like, I want you next or something. They had Paris Hilton last week in the main event, right? UFC fights, yay! I'm like, is anybody going, what does Paris Hilton think of this fight right now? I mean, at that point, might as well just pull up like Kanye West's rants about the president or something that have nothing to do with anything, or just put some porn star up who's like, who want to see my tits? Fucking go fight, like, give me tokens or something, or join my OnlyFans. What are we doing here?
Like, the only time I like that, though, is when it's other fighters giving their, like, scores for each round. Yeah. That's the only time I really like it.
But it's always, even that, sometimes it's like other fighters' teammates. So the guy who's fighting always has his teammate winning for some odd reason.
That is true.
I don't mean, do we, Do we care what Little Pump thinks during the fights?
No, but Adam, you got to understand that the majority owner of the UFC is a talent agency called WME. So they're, you know what I mean? They're throwing their stars and you know, trying to create more buzz, you know.
But they might as well just put like some porn star, you know, some, I don't know, Alexis Texas, like just fingered myself and have don't even put the UFC. Just, I mean, at least that's, I'd be like, oh, well, Alexis Fing. I mean, that at least is, you know, I just think it's annoying. Plus, they never put my fucking tweets up there.
I know, dude. I got
78,000 followers. They got these guys with like 80 followers. I'm like, I mean, I grant you, they can't put most of it because it's ridiculous, but some of them you can.
I was listening to MMA Fighting's podcast, and they're talking about your tweets. They're talking about your one, who is it, who lost, who's going to lose and then go fight for a heavyweight title, Chris Weidman.
Yeah,
he's
one
loss away from a Bellator title
shot.
Got
5,000 likes.
Yeah, dude.
The other one got like literally the one with Cejudo got 5,000 likes. Where I said that Cody No Love abstains from sex before his fights, which explains why Cejudo's so good, right? They don't put my fucking tweets up there, but they put like you know, Jim from Fresno goes up there anyway. Yeah. So. All right, so it also got announced that Brian Ortega versus the Korean Zombie in October. This,
oh, yeah.
Brian Ortega, one time I was like, I was walking to the fight and I saw Ortega and I was like, oh, it's Ortega. And then I almost bumped into somebody and they kind of like smushed me kind of. And he started laughing and I felt like that fucking nerd in high school that got like a wedgie in front of everybody. So I'm not the biggest fan, but no, but that was annoying. But I don't know how good Brian Ortega is. Because at one point, he looked like he was a world beater. And then Max Holloway beat him. But Max Holloway is awesome. But we haven't seen this guy in 2 years. And he wanted to fight the Korean Zombie's translator, who's a rapper, at a fight or something. Like, what's going on? I see him in commercials every day. I know he used to be in gangs until he found Modelo or something. But, like, what do we think about this fight? Jake.
It's interesting. No, I like it. I think you know, it's gonna be a good test. Gonna be a good test for, you know, that's not an easy fight for either guy. I think Ortega's one of those guys too. He can fight, man. He's obviously incredible on the ground, and I think he keeps getting better. But no, it's I mean, that's a main event fight. You know what I mean? I think both guys are impressive. I'm leaning towards Ortega.
Have you ever trained with Ortega?
Yeah, I've trained with him quite a bit.
How good is he?
He's good. He's very. I think he's underrated in a lot of ways. But you know, again, when you're facing the top guys in the world, it's, you know, like Holloway. I mean, shit, Holloway makes a lot of people look bad.
But I'm saying, okay, yeah, of course. But like when you train with like Beneil Dariush, I remember that you were so high on him. You were like, this dude is gonna be the next big thing, right? And you may be right. I mean, he's knocking now, he's fucking Dariush Tyson. He's like K1 Beneil, right? I remember when you trained with Pat Cummings, you were like, Pat Cummings, you said he might have had a shot to beat Cormier that time. You were like, I don't know, man, this dude is really good, Pat Cummings. Did Ortega give you that same sense of this is going to be a world champion one day or a future world champion?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you know, again, there's a lot of things you can kind of like take out of training. But at the same token, it's like there's a lot of guys who are incredible. Like I used to have guys when I trained in Nebraska that were like incredible in the gym, like amazing fighter. You know, you think they're like the best guy I've ever trained with, and then they can't put it together, you know. And
right. So.
But no, Ortega's clearly been one of those guys. Like even early in his career, it was kind of like he's good, but we're not sure how good he is. And he kept finding a way, you know, Frankie Edgar, he kept finding ways to win. And so that, you know, he definitely has the mentality to be a champion. So,
but you have some amazing insight, man. Like, I mean, I could see why you do really well gambling because you like when they announced that Johnny Hendricks was going to fight Dakota Cochran in bare knuckle boxing, I'm like, Dakota's going to get killed. Johnny Hendricks has got hands of fucking guy almost knocked out GSP. He knocked out this guy. He knocked out that guy. And this, what's his name? Dakota Cochran beat him, like stopped him in like two rounds.
Yeah.
And you told me that was going to happen.
Yeah.
How did you know that?
Man, it's, well, I trained with him quite a bit and it's, one of those things. Some guys have those intangibles. I mean, he's like a power lifter when he's not training. Like Dakota Cochran's strong as hell, and he's really good everywhere. Like even training MMA with him, like there's not one place where you're like, oh, he's not good here. He's good everywhere. But anyway, he hits so freaking hard. I was like, if he connects, he's gonna put
more. Crazy. I'm like Jake's obviously lost his mind. Dakota Cochran is gonna get killed by Johnny Hendricks, and I was like, I was blown away. Shout out to Dakota, by the way. Speaking of bare knuckle boxing, so Paige VanZant is officially signed with bare knuckle boxing. I don't know what she's thinking. She's a beautiful girl. She's obviously a good fighter. She can make a lot of money in Bellator. She must love to fight, but it just seems like I don't get it.
It's a multi-million-dollar fight deal.
Is that what she's?
That's why she signed. I'll go into the heavyweight division of bare knuckle boxing right now for $10,000.
She got a multi-million dollar. You know that for a fact? They have multi-million. Who's backing bare knuckle boxing? Fucking Bill Gates? Like how does? I don't know anybody that ever orders these pay-per-views. Like it's like they usually stream it free on YouTube or Facebook. I think it's like $10 when I do buy it. Like,
I know.
Multi-million dollar the pay back then.
Yeah. It is. I mean, it's a big risk. It's a big risk on the promotion standpoint, but I think if that can lead to a lot more pay-per-views or generate sales, I mean, we'll see.
But people want to see her get hurt? Like, are people watching this to see her get her face fucked up? Like, Anthony Johnson, if he went on bare knuckle boxing, you'd be like, oh, he's going to murder somebody. Or Mike Tyson, when he boxes, you're like, oh, somebody's getting knocked out. Like, people tuning into Paige VanZant to watch her get fucking her face fucked up. Like,
oh, she's gonna bring a lot of eyes though to when she fights.
She's not really a knockout artist. Like her knockouts are usually by kicks. If she does, or she stops people with ground and pound. Like what are people just want to see a hot girl get the shit beaten out of her? Is that
hell yeah, dude?
Isn't there better ways to spend? I like Paige VanZant, and I love her husband. Great fucking dude. He comes on the show all the time. Austin.
Yeah.
They're both really nice people.
Awesome, yeah.
Maybe she just wants to prove that she's a badass, but I think she's already proved it.
No, yeah. I don't think it's an ego move. I think it's strategically a money move. Let's be honest. Let's call it what it is. You know what I mean?
So are people thinking that like scars are going to heal on her face? Like –
I mean, Adam, hindsight's 2020. You know what I mean? We'll see.
I mean, she's fighting Betch Kahaya, I guess, her first fight.
Really?
Yeah, that's what I heard.
Wait, Betch is in the BKFC too?
Yeah, I heard they signed Betch as well.
Seriously?
That's what I heard. That's the word on the street. Is that even the same weight? I don't even – what is Betch, 135 and she's 25? I don't know. Look, I'm a fan of Paige VanZant. I just don't know what – My first instinct is, what the fuck is she thinking? But I guess $1 million deal. She loves to fight. She wants to hit somebody in the face.
I know. I've heard some rumors, too, as far as, like, the backing for bare knuckle. I've heard there's some big some of the backers have made a lot of money and, like, well, either. So, I don't know. Something.
It's the mafia?
I don't know. Something like the porn industry or something where they've made a lot of money. So, it's like...
Speaking of which, by the way, speaking of another awesome event on so there's a new event. It just got announced. It's going to be on Cam Soda, which is a porn site. That's why I think about that. So have you heard about Cam Soda, Jake?
No.
Cam Soda, it's a porn site. I've never actually paid money into it, but it was the one – they had one fight recently. I think they had what's his name fought in it? Mike Perry's friend, the guy was in PFL. Who am I thinking of? You know what I'm talking about. The guy who got busted for – great guy, huge guy. Oh, Ween Dog.
I just went to Cam Soda right now, so my mind is completely blank because of what I'm seeing.
All right, so –
this is a porn website. I can confirm that it is a porn website.
All right, so Cam Soda, a leading adult entertainment webcam, announced it's re-entering the combat sports world. They had one fight. Alex Nicholson won in the fight. He beat Rico Rodriguez in the last event. Rico Rodriguez, obviously, in his prime. Okay, so it's Fight Circus, the fights you've always wanted to see. August 22nd in Thailand, The card includes matchups opening an open weight MMA bout between a super heavyweight and a middleweight, two inexperienced brothers against one experienced fighter. All right, so Jake, that's you and your brother could fight in that. The two best friends against an MMA fighter, two bare knuckle fights with headbutts, one a woman's fight and another a men's fight, and a bantamweight Muay Thai coach against a heavyweight boxer in a boxing match. It's all going to fightcircus.com. Donations will be collected. It goes to COVID relief and probably mental health for anyone who wins. The main event's going to be former WBC super heavyweight world champion Stephen Banks against 300-pound Australian Sam Cassidy. This is called Fight Circus. Are you excited about this, Jake?
I can't wait.
You don't want to see two brothers fight a fighter and Ween Dog? Are we going to have to cover this?
Oh, dude. I love watching videos where people are on the brink of death. And especially when it's legal. I'm pretty sure this is all legal, right? This is a different country, Thailand.
It's in Thailand.
So I like all this crazy, very unethical, unhumane shit. So I'm excited for it.
Yeah. Well, by the way, Jake left. That's how bad. Shang, where were you? It's fucking noon.
You said 12:30.
No, I did not. Look at the text.
You ready? You hold sure?
On. Yeah. Hold on. Let me see.
I thought it was 12:30 too.
Hey, brother. Because want to do the podcast Wednesday at noon, Saturday, 7:07.
You ready?
Yeah.
You sure? Are you sure? You sure with that?
No, I said tomorrow we have 12:30. TJ Laramie coming in at 12:30. But the podcast.
We have. I looked at it. It said 12:30. It says here 12:30.
I know, but before that it says noon.
Okay. That was just
the schedule of when people are coming on. I should have said that.
Ah, there he is.
That was my fault.
No big deal, boys. No big deal.
That was actually my fault. I should have said it was at noon. I did say, okay, it was my fault. I didn't make clear. You're right. Shang is here. So, Shang, we're talking about a couple things.
Shang, what's happening?
What's up, Jake? So, good to meet you online. Yeah.
Good to see you, man.
First of all, Shang, how are you?
I'm good, man. I'm very disappointed with the fights this weekend. Shut up, shut your mouth, shut your fucking pie hole, brother. No, man, I was like, but I knew the one fight I was gonna go the way it was gonna go.
We said every fight was gonna go. We said Stipe was gonna be Cormier.
I think, yeah, but I just thought Stipe not using his wrestling, didn't shoot enough. There was so much shit he could have done.
You mean Cormier not wrestling. Yeah.
I mean, that's your strong point. And I fuck all that. If you can stand up a bang with a person, that's fine, which he could. But he knows he's a stronger wrestler, and he should have fucking used it, and he didn't use it. He tried to, his ego or what? I don't know what the fuck. And the eye poke was no joke. His eye was fucked.
I think in the second round, when he didn't know where he was, and he asked the corner, like, where am I? What happened? I think the fight was over at that point. As far as, like, you know, he took him a while to figure out where the fuck he was. Jake, have you ever been hit and you didn't know where you were?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I just said, pretty much.
In training a couple times, yeah, but
what about during the fight?
The last one in recent memory when I fought Masvidal, he hit me with a
three piece and a soda.
Yeah, he hit me with a combination, and I had stars for a second, and I was like, goddamn, because he's a lot faster than he looked. Like, he's deceptively fast, but
right.
That was the last one I can remember in recent memory.
Wow. So, I mean, now obviously that changes the fight, right? I mean, that's got to be like one of the worst feelings in the world is waking up and not knowing where the fuck you are, right?
you got to hit reset real quick, or hopefully there's a round, a minute between the rounds, you know?
Yeah, so you can get your faculties together, yeah.
Exactly.
So, all right, another thing. Now, it turned out that what's-his-name ankle was not broken. Our boy, Sugar Sean. Now, some people say he should have kept fighting. His ankle was out. I mean, his knee was out. He had one leg. I think it was actually a pretty good stoppage by Herb Dean, because it was pretty obvious what was going to happen. He was just getting going to get pounded. I don't think he would have won with laying on the ground with one leg. People were mad at Herb Dean, but I'm like, come on, man. The guy.
I feel so bad for Herb Dean lately. I feel so bad. Every single fight he refs, he gets some shit on the internet. And most of the time, I side with Herb Dean. You know what I'm saying?
Aside from that one fight in England, And also the, I think it was the thumbs up that Uriah Faber did back in the day when he gave somebody a thumbs up and he was like, Herb stopped it anyway. I would say for the most part, out of like, you got to just round those off because he's, you know, reffed hundreds of thousands of thousands.
And he's a good ref.
I think we're getting Zoom hacked. Now, do you consider that, Jake, a loss by O'Malley? Because I thought he was winning that fight up until that point. He rolled his ankle.
Yeah, it's weird, dude. It's one of those things. Like, I mean, injuries happen, things happen. It's a full contact fight. It's unfortunate. I mean, that definitely, you know, will end a fight. But you know, it's one of those things. It is. You know, did he get beat up? Did he get beat? You know, that's debatable. But it's, you know, it's still, you know, you win, you lose. Yeah, but one guy gets their arm raised.
I saw his. You saw his foot turn in.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
It turned like this, and then it kept going. I went, what the fuck? I fucked my knee up, but, you know, it was different. I felt it afterwards. I think because when you have a lot of adrenaline, sometimes you'll keep going.
Yeah.
And my knee was fucked up, and then afterwards, my knee looked like the size of Tyson's head. Like, no, it was fucked. I was like, what? It was like, what the fuck? Did y'all put a small baby in my knee? What the fuck? It was that bad. But during... I was like, I kept going. But then afterwards, I was like, I'll never do that shit again. This is bullshit.
Dude, by the way, a friend of mine went up to Mike Tyson a couple of days ago and was like, Tyson, man, you know, you're going to kill Roy Jones. Are you sure you should be doing this? And Tyson said, don't worry. He's going to be so rich, he's going to afford a really expensive wheelchair.
Oh, my God.
Mike Tyson got that helter-skelter look in his eyes.
I still think Roy Jones wins this fight. I'm sorry. I think Tyson gasses out after two rounds, and Jones takes it. Jake?
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Man, there's so many things with this fight. Like, with Tyson, I mean, he's almost like he's trying to be somebody everybody wants him to be. You know what I mean?
He's
like,
not.
You see him in interviews when either, like, he's like, I don't even know who that guy – you know, when he used to, like, really say some crazy shit, but he's like, I don't even know who that guy is. I don't even like that guy. You know what I mean? Like he says that. So it's like, then you're like, are you even in the right mindset to be that guy? You're trying to be that guy everybody wants you to be. You know what I'm saying? So again, this is one of those, it's a money fight.
Yeah. That's what I felt with Floyd Mayweather. Everybody was like, no man, McGregor could get him. I'm like, no, this is a money grab. Yeah. My friends are arguing with me. I'm going, no, it's a money grab for McGregor. It's a money grab for, I don't know, Floyd Mayweather. How many more money grabs can you get after Pacquiao? But no, I mean, I literally was like, I don't think he had a fucking shot at this. At the end, you started seeing him bobbling his head back and forth through the ring. Like he was like, yeah, I knew it.
I'm a fan of Conor, and it's like, okay, you have to get him out of there. Are you going to be able to get Floyd Mayweather out of there? Well, 49 guys in front of you have it. So there's nothing that's going to lead me to believe that you're going to get him out of there. I'm rooting for you, Conor. I'm rooting for him. But, hey, that was a money grab.
So, Shang, this weekend in Miami or in Thailand, Fight Circus is going on. It's in Thailand. The card includes matchups between
Fight Island, Fight Circus. What the fuck?
It's an open-weight MMA bout between a super heavyweight and middleweight, two inexperienced brothers against one experienced fighter, two best friends against an MMA fighter, two bare knuckle fights with headbutts, one's a woman's fight, another a man's, a Muay Thai coach against a heavyweight boxer in a boxing match. And also the main event's gonna be former WBC heavyweight world champion Stephen Baines and 300-pound Australian Sam Cassidy. Are you gonna watch this?
Fuck no. Are you kidding me? What? It just sounds like a clusterfuck. It doesn't sound like a clusterfuck. And then after that, we're going to have two dwarves do a grappling match, and their arms aren't really long enough to really grapple good, but they're going to grapple as best they can. Get the fuck out of here. Headbutts and all that other goofy shit. Now, that's called pandemic boredom. Like, yeah, fuck it. Let's just have some. Why don't my grandfather fight? My grandfather fucking fought the middleweight division, but guess what? My grandfather can't fight. Well, one, he's dead, but still. Alive. Yeah, he used to fucking punch me all the time and shit. I'm like, Pops, you old now. I'm going to hit you in your colostomy bag, you old bitch.
It's going to be on a porn website called Cam Soda.
It's, oh God, that's even worse.
Wait, is it free?
No. So Israel Adesanya said he's happy to follow John Jones to heavyweight. I think that's a bad idea. I think he's too small for heavyweight, Israel. John Jones cuts. I mean, he's about 230 regular, cuts 205. Israel is not a big guy. I think it's a bad idea.
He's tall, but he's not thick. He doesn't have that density that it takes to, you know, be a heavyweight, I think.
I think
he's skilled, but I think that weight, no, I think that's just silly. I think that Jones and Stipe would be good. I still think Stipe would beat him. I think that Stipe would win.
We talked about that. It would be good. So this week, this Friday.
Some of these guys, I think a lot of these guys just, they take their they take the temperature on, like, how are people going to respond? You know, could this be a big fight? You know what I mean? Is it compelling? Is it going to sell pay-per-views? At the end of the day, these guys are fighters. They want to see how much money they can make. It's like John Jones going to heavyweight. There's a lot of compelling matches.
How does it work for you, right? Does the UFC send you, hey, these three guys, we want you to fight, and then you pick the one you want the most?
No, not typically. Typically, they'll bring you, like, a specific opponent and say, this is who we're thinking about, or, you know, if you, more so the timeline. If the timeline works out, hey, you know, 6 weeks, you know, next month, 2 weeks, whatever. So
now, did you know people that kept saying no to you? Were there people?
Stop it, man.
Let me finish my thought, Adam. Let me finish my thought.
All right, go on.
But I mean, guys like Adesanya, he's one of the handful of guys who get pay-per-view points. You know what I mean? He can make a lot of money. So, okay, of course. It's like it's like we know talking about he'll fight a heavyweight for for a certain amount of money. It's like, dude, these guys they'll fight it. They're fighters. They'll fight at any weight, like, to make multi-$1 million. Are you kidding me? Like, of course, 185, 205, the number don't matter. So they're taking their temperature on all these how people react. Oh man, they're gonna see Adesanya at heavyweight. We're not. I mean, you know, they're gonna try to get the UFC to make some, you know, to make some stipulations to try to make it happen if there's a huge need for it, but I don't buy it. It's media attention.
Yeah.
Now, Shang, when you got locked up, did you get any jail fights or no?
That's hilarious. Why did you talk about me being a good dad? What about that?
You are a good dad. I just want to know, like,
why don't you bring up the fact I cured some crippled kids? How about that?
Okay, fine. I know somebody must have stepped to you. Right, and you.
Hey, you know what? Don't like to talk about that. Really.
Okay, all right, okay.
Not a good time in my life. Like, hey, why don't we talk about the time of my divorce? Why don't we go on that on the MMA roasted? You motherfucker, you. what was that like? Hey man, remember the time you got kicked in the balls? Yeah, man. It was amazing. Let's reminisce. Fuck, I'm not reminiscing about fucking being back against the wall. It is the dumbest shit in the world. But let's talk about the legitimate ones. No, the only time that I was. Like, when I've seen situations, I was going, this is how old I am. Like, this is, you're so much younger. Oh, everybody's so much younger than me. With PKA, it was basically, you would know there were people that were monsters, and it didn't matter because they're like, you're next. And so for me, I was like, I don't want to fucking do this. Like, I don't know if other people feel that way. That's why I'm just saying for me, because some people, I was like, this motherfucker's going to hurt me, and I'm never going to have kids. Like, there's certain people I think are scary. Like, right now, and Dono to me is scary to me. Like, I would never, if he bumped me and took my fucking salad in a line, I'd be like, man, enjoy that fucking salad.
Yeah, of course.
Like, is it just me? Does he seem like
no.
He's on this run where it's like, it's a wrap.
No, I've stood next to heavyweights before, like guys like Josh Barnett, like big Roy Nelson. And, you know, they're big, but they got some fat on them. And Dono must be like 7% body fat because he's fucking huge. And there's no fat on him. It's like that dude. It's like being with like a fucking Greek god. I mean, you're just like, holy shit.
He's like, it's like when Thanos was fighting Hulk, and they were like, what they went to stop him. They went, no, wait, let him enjoy it.
But Jake beat him in sparring.
Who's
right?
That?
Ngannou.
No, it's.
What happened when you guys sparred? You told us last time you beat him.
We've not. Adam, I've never sparred with France.
All right.
I've seen him train. No, we have a little bit of a discrepancy there, Adam. Just about
Oh, no, you said Randy beat him. You said Randy beat him in sparring, right? You said you were there?
I said they trained together. That's what I said.
Okay, all right. Come on, we got
to
get some.
Yeah, you know what? A lot of times I found that if you talk to people that have fought, you don't want to talk about the shit that happens during training.
All right.
You know, it's like that. Like, even if somebody did beat you, if you roll with somebody and they beat you, you still don't want to. Yeah, you don't really want to talk about
I know, but he gets really uncomfortable, and it's kind of funny.
So you like? I like when you're uncomfortable.
I like pushing his buttons. It makes me laugh. That's fucking me. I'm sorry.
I've worked with you. I've been on the road with you. I've seen your act.
I'm bored sometimes. I'm just like, you know what? Let's just fucking see what happens. If you
How did that debate go last week?
Oh.
it was a fuck show. That's what it was. It was like. It's like, I don't even talk anymore because Trump rubbed my body down with oils and made me feel better. And then he got off. He had to get off. I'm like, not that I'm making fun of him. I don't want him ever.
No, dude, I still get texts from him to send to you about Black Lives Matter videos. And I'm like, I'm not going to send it to him.
Oh, he can send it directly to me, but I don't want to run into him either. I think the reason I get fighter, like, I think I did it. You know, people that... You join Taekwondo and you join Jiu-Jitsu because your dad thinks it's a good idea.
Yeah.
That type of shit. But you know that eventually this shit is not for you. Like, even when you start going in, like, tournaments, you go, I don't know if I want to be in an Epsom salt bath for fucking two nights.
Right.
I just, like, after a while, you start going, you know what? Jokes feel easier.
Yeah, you know, of course. But yeah.
But that's why I give so much props to the guys that are out there swinging it for the fences. And even when I was watching the fights this past weekend, I was sitting there going, I still give them props, but fuck, that ego part of it. If I Pike Chance ever kept going, I'm telling you, fuck all that ego shit. Get the win.
Yeah,
the more wins you get, then you can leverage your money.
So Jake, after you, like, what were some of the weird texts you got after you won and after you lost?
No, just really quick to add to what you're saying. Like, we were talking about this last week. I know Wean Dog too. We're like, DC had more ways to win, but we're talking about, is he going to stick to the game plan? Can he stay with the strategy?
Right.
And not, you know what I mean, not alter from that. And sure enough, you know, because it's like, dude, you're an Olympian. You're probably arguably the best wrestler in the sport. You know, top three easily. Arguably the best. But it's like, dude, take him down, beat him up. Like, you can do, you know, look at Chael Sonnen and Anderson Silva won. 4.5 rounds he did it. You know what I mean? Don't tell me you can't do that too.
Well, at the same time, Stipe is like a foot taller and was a college wrestler. Anderson Silva was a jiu-jitsu guy versus
I understand.
No.
I mean, like a striker.
4.5 rounds, he was getting mobbed. Let's be real.
No, he was. We're talking about whether or not it was easy enough to take him down. That's what I'm talking about. You talk about Anderson Silva's jiu-jitsu, I mean, wrestling defense, which was great because he beat a lot of wrestlers, versus Stipe's wrestling defense. We have never seen anyone take Stipe down and hold him down for a long time.
But no one's really tried. I mean, a couple. But I'm saying DC is arguably the best wrestler in the sport. I mean,
I
I'm not saying it'd be easy. Certainly wouldn't be easy. The guy's a champion for a reason. But, you know, I thought if he didn't stick to a strategy like that, it wasn't going to go his way.
So, some fights this week. We got Ryan Bader versus Vadim Nemkov. Ryan Bader is like, went to Bellator, went like 9-1. His last loss was to Anthony Johnson. Like, he hit him so hard, he went on like a 12-fight winning streak. Like, that's fucking how hard this guy hits. I mean, Bader, you talk about a guy who's looked better than ever. I don't know if it's mental. I remember the one thing on Bader, the knock on him was mental. Because I was at the fight versus him and Machida, right? Obviously, fighting Machida is a unique experience because you're fighting a karate guy who's moving backwards the whole time. And it's hard to fight a guy like that. Now, the crowd all started booing. Everybody in the Staples Center, boo, boo. Now, a guy who was at a better mental place than Ryan Bader would be like, fuck this crowd. I don't care. Let him bring this fight to me. Instead, Bader's like, I don't want to hear boos. I'm going to shoot in, and boom, he gets knocked out, right? So that was the old Ryan Bader. This new Ryan Bader is just on a fucking different – I mean, destroying Matt Mitrione, knocking out Fedor, knocking out King Mo, just running through everybody. This dude Vadim Nemkov, though, is also a beast. He beats Phil Davis, beats Rafael Carvalho, I think in like two rounds. submits him. This is a good fight. And of course it's Bellator, so they keep it all secret. Because they like to do VIP showings where you have to like know a code and talk to someone's grandma to fucking find out how to order it and stuff. But this is a very under the radar fight. Who do we like in this fight? Jake Ellenberger.
It's a great fight. I think, you know, I'm going to go with Bader. I think he's the guy's been on fire. He's got a lot of momentum, and like even with his age, he keeps getting better. So that's a tall task. I don't think it's going to be a short fight, but I'm going to go with Bader.
Shang?
Yeah. I mean, I think because Bader, I'm going to say it, he's got the momentum, but I don't know, that motherfucker he's fighting, he wrestles dragons. He's no joke, but.
Can I just say, by the way, Shang, you're one of my favorite comedians. All these people that are like, fuck Antifa Shang. Fuck you guys. Shang's my guy. As long as he's going to be on the podcast.
I'm not with. Why do they say I'm with Antifa? You just guys making shit up. I'm not with Antifa. I think Black Lives Matter is fucking. I don't like the website and the ploy of what it is. But yeah, being black, I kind of go, yeah, Black Lives should matter a little bit.
What's wrong with me saying that could matter? Obviously, please.
That's like you said, like your daughter, little girl. If you have a little daughter and you say, little girls matter. If somebody says, oh, fuck you, bro, don't say that, you'd be like, wait a minute, they do.
Right, yes. Right. Well, speaking of Black Lives Matter, we have a really,
wow.
Really...
Was that a segue? Did you just do that?
We have a hilarious comedian, his dude's hilarious. I watch his stuff, and he's really funny. Been on the Tonight Show, is a writer for The Daily Show, Towards with Trevor Noah, funny as hell. Josh Johnson, how are you, man?
Good. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
No problem.
He gave all your credits. He didn't even say sex trafficking, which I think is bullshit.
Sex trafficking?
Yeah, you should put that in there since you bring it up. I got a weird shit.
Like, I'm just coming in, so I have no idea what's happening. But that
I've been here for the whole show, and I don't know what's happening.
Neither do I.
He's like, oh, hey, man, how was it when, what was that rape thing going for you? Like,
oh, that's not what I said.
I know.
First of all, you went on stage. First of all, okay. Clear this up.
Shang,
you went on stage, and I used to open for you. And you told the crowd, a lot of you guys are like, where you been? And you're like, I had to go away for a little bit, but I'm back. So you told the crowd that.
I know, but I haven't done that bit
So you said that. So that's why I said, if you got any fights, if you didn't tell the whole crowd that every show, I wouldn't.
You probably wouldn't have asked me. Okay, I agree with you. You're right. So what's up, Josh?
All right.
Not much. I had no idea that there was a long fought battle going on.
No, there's not. We're just idiots.
No, we fuck with each other. I've been in cornfields doing shows with this man, so I'm good.
Yes, of course. So Josh, man, are you an MMA fan?
Yeah, big one.
Nice, because I watched some of your comedy, and you said that you were a theater major. And you were terrible at sports.
I'm terrible at sports, but I love watching other people do them.
Oh, that's good. I guess you're leaving the show. Well, yeah, that was great. Thank you, Josh, for coming to the podcast. I appreciate it.
He's back.
So who are some of your favorite fighters?
I'm a big fan of Izzy. I think Israel Adesanya is like a definite new wave, and it's like it's nice to see somebody that puts together both the like showmanship but also the level of like strike acumen that he has is incredible, and I'm excited for his fight with Paulo Costa. And then I can respect Henry Cejudo while still cringing at everything that he says. I think that he's a phenomenal fighter, and I think that the retirement is fake, and I kind of hope it is. But at the same time, I think, like, you know, if he did retire, he went out on top, which is nice. Very few people get to say that.
So who do you think wins, by the way? And let's go around the horn here. Israel or Costa?
I think Israel. I just – the way that I – see Costa, and I'm not, you know, a fighter by any means. I swing for the fences like an idiot, and my jiu-jitsu is terrible. I'm a white belt, and I get choked out every time. But I will say that the way that I've seen Paulo Costa fight is very reckless and heavy-handed, and he's kind of heavy on his feet. He's not he's not nimble, and he sort of telegraphs everything. I think even his fight with Romero, I kind of in my head gave it to Romero. I think that, you know, he hits really hard, and he's fought. I was there actually at MSG when he fought Johnny Hendricks, and it was an incredible fight to watch. But you're also talking about a different Johnny Hendricks than Johnny Hendricks, the champ. So I think that some of his highlight reel and some of his accolades are a bit convenient for the time. I think he caught some people on their way out, and I think he's been able to beat some people who don't necessarily have that top 10 breakthrough. So I think Izzy's going to be a different scenario for him.
Jake?
Yeah, I would agree. I think Israel's definitely the more, when it comes to fight IQ, 100% I'm going to go with Izzy. But Paulo Costa is dangerous, and he is. He's a little bit wild, but he does seem to be a bit flat-footed. He certainly hasn't faced the competition that Israel's faced. So I'm going to go with Israel by maybe like fourth or fifth round stoppage. Wow. I think he gets him out of there, though.
Shang?
Oh, wow. Okay. I never liked Ricky Martin. no, he reminds me of like if Ricky Martin ate another motherfucker. Like if Ricky Martin said, you know what, and they just ate a dude. I want him to lose, but I feel like he's just that forward motion, that movement, that aggression. He is heavy-handed. I don't know if Izzy's ever been hit that hard like that from a dude with that kind of power. I don't know. I'm going to have to give it to Ricky Martin.
Ween Dog?
Am I the only one here that likes Paulo Costa? I love this dude so much, dude.
Pretty much.
Costa's going to win, too.
I think I definitely agree with Jake and Josh that Izzy has an amazing fight IQ. And I think that's going to be a huge advantage for Adesanya. But something about the way Paulo Costa just ran through Yoel Romero was just so impressive to me that I have to give him the slight edge. Because I think Paulo Costa does not give a fuck if you're a great kickboxer, if you're great at throwing body kicks, leg kicks. Paulo Costa doesn't give a fuck. He eats leg kicks for breakfast. You know, he puts leg kicks in his fucking cereal. You know what I'm saying? So I think Paulo Costa is going to put on a great show, and I think he might get the knockout win.
So Josh, switching gears, what's it like touring with Trevor Noah?
I mean, the bit that I've been able to do is absolutely amazing. You know, one of the big motivators for me wanting to not only get better, but get to a point where we live in a world where COVID isn't like in and behind and around every sentence, is to resume some of those shows on that tour. It was absolutely incredible because it was the biggest crowds I'd ever performed for. And it was great to see that the things that I do at the Cellar work on a massive scale for a bunch of people who don't know I'm coming. That's the best part.
Dude, I watched your stand-up, and I watched your first Tonight Show set, which was good. Then I watched your set on Comedy Central, which blew me away.
Oh,
and
thanks, man.
I saw your evolution a little bit. First one was good. You're like, I'm short, a lot of short jokes. I'm like, okay. But the second one, I was like, I feel like I'm not a black person. Like, I was like, this is some of the brilliant comedy I've seen in a long, long time. Not the first one was bad. It was good.
But no, I appreciate it. I know what you mean.
Really been working on your
Why didn't you ask him about your on tour? What about the hookers and cocaine? What about that? I mean, you're on tour, Trevor Noah, big crowds, whores, cocaine. Tell us. Come on, man. Don't you fuck yourself. You know what? You're being selfish. You've changed. There's got to be hot women at the show. Stop it.
Yeah, in the crowd, but not like, I don't know. It's not this rock star type of experience that I think people.
No whores. Not one whore. Okay. Nah. Yeah, you know what? Okay. I like your stand-up, but you're not being truthful.
I mean, I hate it that I have to disappoint you. Like honestly, I wish I had a story for you, but there's none.
First you go for Izzy, and now you say this.
Jake, before you were married, and you know, when you went to Omaha and you fought in those cornfields, those women, was it all the farmers only women? They must have, like, it was crazy, right? All right, thank you. That was Jake.
Wow.
No, it probably just fell out.
Yeah, of course, of course, of course.
Perfect timing, though. Right when you finish your question, he just dips.
But there he is.
No. Oh. We have Kai Kamaka here.
How you doing?
Hi.
Kai's wearing a mask during the interview. This is awesome.
Well, he's in Target.
Kai, how are you? Man?
I'm actually. My friend he cuts hair out here, but he's in barber school, so I'm kind of just waiting around to get my hair cut.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, man. This nothing like an interview while someone's getting a haircut with a mask on. So, by the way, congrats on your fight last week. That was awesome.
Thank you.
Was that the happiest you've ever been after a fight?
No, not. I'm not really happy after my fight. I don't know. Maybe. I'm just like, yeah, I'm kind of more relieved to get to fight week. But I wasn't really like happy. It was like, I kind of take it like with a Brett Metcalf mindset, like, you know, like I expect to win. So I wasn't really happy. I think I like to win, but I hate to lose. So it wasn't really a big deal. As far as like, I think I was more happy for the bonus. Yeah, I was happy watching all those fights and everybody telling me that, oh, that one wasn't that good. I think you're still in the running. That one wasn't that good. You're still in the running. So I think that was more like I had more happy moments watching the fights and wishing for other boring fights.
Josh, did you watch this fight?
It was the first fight
of the undercard. The very first
Yeah, fight. Then I did. That's wild. I think the mask also threw me off.
He fought Tony Kelly.
Yeah.
So you're on a 6-fight winning streak. But by the way, Kai, your wrestling is insane. Are you the best wrestler ever from Hawaii?
No, not really. There's been D1 guys that went. There's been D1 guys from Hawaii. I don't know if you guys know Travis Lee. He went to Cornell. And then I got some friends that went to like Iowa State and all. But I think that there's a little bit better wrestlers than me in Hawaii. Not too much.
Let me tell you, man. When I was watching the fight, I was like, first you kept coming. They were like, oh, you know. And he started slowing down, and I was like, and as soon as he started slowing down, you was kneeing the fuck out of him. I was like, yo, you got him with a couple great knees. I was like, yo, and I wouldn't want to roll with you, motherfucker, because you serious with your shit. You are, man. Seriously.
Thank you.
Now, you were the state champ of Hawaii?
Yeah, I was. I was like a 2-time finalist. I know it might not be a big deal to like all these mainland guys, but I was a 2-time finalist in Hawaii. And I lost to a guy that my sophomore year is when I made it to the finals. I lost to a guy that went to end up wrestling at Air Force, and he was a 3-time state champ. Yeah, he wrestled at Air Force, and then I won my senior year. My junior year, I got hurt, but.
And your dad is a football coach, and your brother plays wide receiver for the
University of Hawaii. Yeah, at UH. Yeah, he played at University of Hawaii.
And your cousin's Ray Cooper III.
Yeah, so my dad and his mom is brother's sister.
Okay, so like Thanksgiving, was this one big rumble?
Not really. It was kind of weird because, I mean, it's hard to have big Thanksgiving. I mean, like really well Thanksgiving, not a year fighter, like. I was preparing for Bellator, and he was preparing for PFL Championship. So, I mean, it was the same. It's just, like, we weren't, like, pigging out.
Of course. Now, Josh, do you have any athletes in your family?
No. I am the closest, and I am not. So.
what drives you to mixed martial arts?
I think because – oh, sorry. Is it
– No, I don't know. I don't know what you're talking
about. Both of you. Josh, you go first.
Oh, okay. I think that I just didn't have the bandwidth and the interest in team sports to know all those stats and to know all of the stuff going on, like basketball, soccer, football-wise. And, you know, getting wrapped up in both the story and the individual skills of one person was always fascinating because, you know, I think that fighting is the – first and highest form of competition because it's just about imposing your will. So even when LeBron dunks on somebody, he's trying to do the same thing as like suplexing someone. Like it's just that fighting is a more straightforward way with less rules and there's no ball in between the will and everything.
You're like the most brilliant fucking guy I've ever talked to.
That's pretty cool.
Kai, what got you into fighting?
I like, you know, like how like a puppy, like once he gets to open his eyes, like he can see the world. I think like my moment like that is like once I could see like the world, I was like at like, I don't know if you know like what Super Brawl was back in Hawaii. There was like a pretty big organization, and that's all I could remember. That Rumble on the Rock, that was BJ Penn's organization. So like that's like ever since I got out the womb, I can just remember going to those events. Like that was Friday Night Lights, you know, like that was like the biggest thing for me. And from like 5 years old on, and it's been like a 20-year journey. Like people say that, you know, they train all their life for it, like to get to the UFC. But I feel like I really did. It's not like I'm not just saying it, like to say it. I seen like UFC fighters like pretty frequently, and you know, it's not like it's just now that I'm finally here. It's more of a relief.
Well, okay, so here you are now. You're 17 years old. You have two kids, and you're married.
17.
So Kai, how old are you?
No, I'm 25.
You're 25. Oh my God. But you got. Why do Hawaiians get pregnant so quickly? Like I feel like teen mom is like the norm over there. Like there's, like, what's going on?
He ain't lying.
I'm not lying. What is
it? Lying multiple times.
Is there no Netflix out there or something? Like, why are Hawaiians getting pregnant so soon?
I have no idea. I don't know. I have no idea.
Now Hawaiian women are off the charts fine.
Oh my God.
They're off the charts. It's like they're almost, they were made in a beautiful lab or some shit.
So do you get arrested if you don't have a kid by the age of 12 or something? Like, what?
Why? Is it 12? I thought it was older, 14.
No, it just seems like, Hawaii, right? Am I right? And you guys have huge families, like huge families.
Yeah, we do.
Like, are you an outcast for only having two kids?
No, I mean, I'm getting up there already. Like, I have one coming in October. So,
okay. Oh, good.
But my cousin Ray, he has like he's 27 and he has five already.
I'm not lying.
It's true. No, I went there and did a show. I don't know. You know who Booyah Tribe is? Booyah Tribe.
Yeah. I've seen that around. I've seen that.
The brawl down there, and I went down to do shows, and I stayed, and they just literally a family came. They saw me. Took me to their house, literally going through almost up in the mountains, and they had at least 30 kids. But we all hung out, and it was like for like 2 days and just fucking ate.
Beautiful. They're the most warmest, nicest people, like in the time. World. But they have, they love to fuck and not use condoms. But like, it is what it is.
It is what it is.
Now you moved to Vegas. Was that a culture shock for you?
No. We're in Vegas pretty frequently, Vegas and California. So I'm not really. And I'm pretty much moved here until I got into the UFC, but now I'm going back home. Yeah, I'm right. I'm going back home.
Now, Josh, are you out of LA or New York?
New York. Yeah. So I live in Brooklyn.
I saw you at the Cellar. That's when I first saw you.
Oh, really? Okay.
I used to live there. I'm an old comic. And when I was doing shows there and I would come back and forth, there was a couple cats that went, okay, that was clever. Like, you know how you don't laugh anymore? You kind of watch people go, that was good. That was good.
Now, Josh, are there any Republican or conservative writers on The Daily Show?
Yeah. There's a handful of, I think that the ideas are more diverse than people think they are.
No, they're not. Stop.
You don't think so?
One, I'm just letting you know.
I think like a lot of comics are conservative, but they can write liberal, and they can write for both. You know, they can write for conservative, and I'm wondering if there's conservative people that just know how to write great jokes for liberal, and they work on The Daily Show.
Yeah. I mean, I think that as long as you know how to write jokes, you know how to pivot like subjects and stuff, because the structure of the joke works the same. So even if you don't believe in the thing, you can write a joke that makes fun of someone who's either on your side or, you know, you don't necessarily have that many differing opinions from. I think that it's if you're good at joke writing, it's easier to do than people think it is. I think if you get caught up in your feelings, then you can't, then it's impossible to like write a good joke that goes against what you believe.
Hold up. How do you sit and write? I wrote for a couple shows. How do you sit there and write with a dude, and then afterwards he goes and puts some kids in cages? I mean,
I think.
Like, yeah, I like kids in cages. Hey, man, I got this funny bit about the wall.
Yeah, I mean, I think that for different people, there's going to be differing levels of intensity with it. I think that some people, no matter who you're talking to, just don't care about things.
Are you guys all comedians?
That's why.
Yeah, these are all comedians.
Apparently, because Adam, I'm a convict. I'm fucking with you, Adam. No, but no, yeah, long time ago. But he's obviously, Adam, you're kind of a comic slash, you're a wrestler. You're a wrestler.
Yeah, I wrestled in high school and college.
Wrestled in high school, and I competed back in the day with PKA. It was called PKA.
Josh, how many jokes do you write that don't get on the show? How painful is that? Are you like, ugh?
It's not really painful anymore. I think I'm just used to it now, because when I wrote it Tonight Show, that was my first experience with writing a ton of jokes every day and only having one or two picked every night. And so it's like you just get used to that. At a certain point, you don't treat them like your babies anymore. They're just work, you know? And not to say you're not having fun, but you know that if you wrote 80 jokes in one day, that conceivably all 80 of those jokes can't be on the show. You know, so it you're gonna have to get used to it no matter what, starting real quick.
And I want to ask Kai a quick question. Kai, okay, obviously you felt like you were gonna be in the UFC. You already knew you were gonna be in the UFC. And from watching you fight, I just thought, I know this sounds weird. Now that you said that, I just thought, yeah, it's given. But man, the way you move forward, one, your movement fucked me up. Your movement is like way, it's almost. It's almost like I see some boxers do the way you moved them.
I wish you would move out of target right now.
Huh?
Go on.
No, I'm saying, watching you fight, man, and watching, other than your ground, I just felt like, on bandit-wise, man, it's looking like it's natural.
Yeah, I, when you're trying to get to the UFC, you don't ever think you're going to get to the UFC. But, I knew I was good enough to be here, but I just didn't think it would happen, you know. And but it was just so it's much more of a relief rather than like a shock, because I expected to be here. But as far as like my boxing and my movement, I think like my style of best is just boxing and wrestling. That's the way I like to think about it, like punching and takedowns. And I try not to get too fancy on kicking. I just try to defend kicks and just boxing and takedowns. That's just the way I think about fighting in general.
Now you took the fight on 4 days' notice. So how much weight did you lose?
I was keeping my weight low, just because I want, like, if this opportunity came, I wasn't gonna pass it up. But I only lost like 10 pounds.
Okay,
that's not bad. Yeah, okay. And I fought July 31st.
And then you wrestled. Yeah. And you wrestled in college.
Yeah, I wrestled at a small NAIA school in Nebraska, Midland University.
Were you the only Hawaiian there?
No, there's another Hawaiian that like brought us there, brought me there, and then like once I got there, I started bringing like more. Like my brother played football there, and he brought a bunch of guys there, and I like a couple other wrestlers came there, and like girl wrestlers too. So
wow, so you that's cool. So you guys like took Hawaii and brought it to Nebraska.
Pretty much. And then like there are other schools in like Creighton. I don't know if you guys heard of Creighton. They had a lot of Hawaiians there, so we'd go there just to like hang out and stuff.
And now you're at Extreme Couture?
No, I was training at the, like, until I got the call, I was training at like Venom Fight Camp, because I didn't want to go to places and like possibly get hurt. So I was trying to stay like we're like in a smaller setting, you know, because I didn't want to get dinged up, and then I get the call, and then like, you know, I'm going there with like little more injuries than I was already trying to recover from in the last fight. So
Jake, you're back. We thought I asked you a question, you just left.
What's up, brother? No, technical difficulties, man. It's weird.
Oh yeah, of course. So we're here, we got Josh Johnson, who's like a hilarious comic, used to be in the Roots. And then we have Kai Kamaka, who he's a Hawaiian, but he wrestled in Nebraska, which is where you're from, Jake Ellenberger.
Oh yeah? That's awesome.
I trained with Jake a few times. I trained with his brother, Joel, at Premier Combat Center.
Oh, yeah. That's what's up, man. That's awesome.
Did you beat him?
No, I didn't. I think he was getting ready for a fight. One of his fights that he was just in Nebraska for a bit before he went back.
Oh, you hear that?
Adam Jake? Likes to try to start shit, so.
You do, Adam. The other thing I just want to ask real quick, because it's cool for me to get this opportunity. What is it? I'm going to ask both of you, Jake and Kai, I'm going to ask. It's like I said, when I watched you fight and I've watched you guys fight, there's a naturalness about like the way some people move forward, and there's a staggeredness. So some people move forward, they kind of plod, and you kind of just float into it. Do you like, and you got hurt. You got hurt. You definitely got cut a couple times. When you're cut and you're hurt, what is that one last thing you just go, you know what? You go back to the training, or is it just fucking hard? Because a lot of times some people go back to what I learned in training in the plan, and other people go back to, like, fuck it. It's time to bite down and just beat the shit out of this guy. Like, does that make sense? Which one do you do?
Yeah, it's hard. I mean, one of the things is you got to be ready for audibles. And you don't plan to get, you know, you don't plan to get cut or see stars or have these things happen to you, but they do. You know, you forget, you know, that mentality where you just got to be prepared for anything. But, you know, that's one of those things is emotionally, you got to stay disciplined. You got to stay focused, because it's easy to just say, fuck it, and let's start, you know, and just go. That's really not – that's easy. To stay, like, strategic and try to stay kind of homeostasis in a way, you know, that's tough. It's hard to do, especially when you get cut or you get hurt. But, man, it's one of those things. You got to try to have some sort of a level head with strategy.
Yeah. So, I don't know. I mean, being honest, you gotta stay in homeostasis as much as possible. But like for me, I think in this fight, once I knew I was bleeding, that's when I like, okay, I gotta just bite down, because I thought like blood just, you know, that's score, you know, that's points for the other guy. So I was just thinking like, shoot, I gotta just bite down and get going. And then that's the switch that I had to make. I mean, if there was no blood, like I'm not bleeding, then he hits me, it's kind of like, okay, you got me, but you know, there's nothing there. So you can kind of play it off. But once there's blood, it's like, you know, it kind of shows it could probably sway in the judge's way that, you know, a little bit more damage that way. So
Josh, you have any questions for Jake or Kai?
How do you increase your level of like power when you strike? I feel like, you know, I'm starting to, and this is on like a super minute level, this is like barely existent, but I'm starting to try to get into a little bit of Muay Thai and a little bit of boxing on top of the jiu-jitsu, and I'm bad at all of it. Like, I think there might be something wrong with my eyes. I can't even describe what happens, because sometimes I start swinging and I'm not even close. If you've ever watched The Wonder Years, it's like when Kevin tried to stand up to that bully and got like a full-on stance, started with the power from the feet, used it to switch up in the hips, and then brought that fist right into that bully's shoulder. And both him and the bully were like, what'd you just do? That's kind of how I fight. But I'm wondering, how do you gain power as you strike and as you get better at it?
Well, Jake, you've knocked out Jake Shields. You've knocked out Nate Marquardt. You knocked out Pele. Those are three tough guys. Any
really tough guys.
You want to answer? Want to answer this question? Jake knocked out.
I mean, you know, for me.
No, Jake.
It's tough. Yo, can you hear me?
Yeah. I can hear you.
It's tough. I mean, it's one of those things where, obviously, your power, you know, gets generated. So, it's really, and even like, I don't know, I can't look at myself like where naturally I could hit hard, but it kind of as evolved it was more of like placement and timing. And I mean, you look like a guy like Israel. It's like, that guy hits and he can move really well and he doesn't get hit. I mean, but I mean, to basically increase like your punching power, it's, I mean, even like you look at boxing, it's a lot of like getting just repetitions, hitting the heavy bag, that kind of stuff. But yeah, it's, I mean, that's one of those things. It's kind of what the, you know, what the goal at the end of the day is. So is, I think speed trumps power. You know what I mean? It really does.
Isn't it with your hips too? The way you put your hips into it?
Say it again.
Don't your hips help the way you put your hips into a punch?
Yeah, for sure. For sure. Yeah. The hip turn, the hip movement. I mean, that's a lot of where the power comes from. So being able to, you know, there was a drill that Boss Rutten used to do that I really liked. And it was really just it was almost like you cross your arms. You're just turning your shoulders, but you're using your hips. And it's really actually hard to do. Start really quick, you know, longer and more repetitions. But that was a good drill for just hip turns.
Kai?
Yeah, I think I can answer this from a different perspective too, because I feel like I naturally don't have that, you know, that knockout power. So, I mean, this is something that my coaches are working with me is, yeah, just, I mean, the heavy bag yeah, I mean, everything else, like, you know, the weight training, but then you also got to incorporate it with the type of lifts that you do. Yeah, lots of turning the hips and, yeah, just sitting down on the heavy bag and, like, you know, just hitting the bag super hard. I mean, it's kind of hard to, I mean, you kind of have to have some of it, but I mean, it's something that you can definitely work on as well.
Josh, wow. That was a great question. Any more questions? And do you want to be our new host?
I was going to tell you, Josh, a lot of times, like I was being taught, it's how you pivot. It's how you pivot mm-hmm. your foot. It's pivoting your foot forward. So when you throw, it's your pivot and a snap on the end of your pivot. So it is your hip, but you still got to pivot your feet where you're pivoting it, where you're following through. And he used to tell me, Frank Friedman was one of the people. He said, you have to punch through, like if the person's head's here, you gotta act like you're punching the head is behind them. So you gotta mm-hmm. start trying to punch through. And I found that was one, but then I still, you know, I still would get my ass kicked. But I mean, when I did land, I could tell it was from what he showed me. Like, oh, punch
yeah.
through.
Yeah.
Totally from what he
showed me. I feel like I'm going to be able to put all the pieces together when I get glasses. That'll actually be because I swear it's like I'm not even close. Yeah, I mean, it's like it's just like way too close or like way too far away.
Can I hold the mitts for you though?
It's not even – here's the thing. I feel like I can see, but I can tell from the way I live my life that I can't.
Right. Like a lot, the girls you bring home, are they like, you think they're tens and then you see a picture?
I'll give you a full example. I was walking down the street, just going for like a daily walk. And then this little dog, you know, ran across the street and started like licking my shoe. So I picked him up. And then this lady comes up behind me and she's like, hey, can you put my cat down? And I was like, what? And then the dog meowed. And I was like, oh, I can't see.
That would be part of it.
Like I have.
Well, first of all, why does a lady have a cat out walking a cat? I mean, there's all kinds of fucking. This is fucking.
Yeah, that's way weirder, right?
Right.
Well, listen.
But when you say, and I was going to take the same since we are there, mitts, just fucking that. I mean, that gets your sharp, especially with somebody telling you left, right, and I think that.
So
it's not always just your sight. It is doing that over and over and over again. I think it's a repetition of it. True.
Of course. So Kai, yeah. Who do you want to fight next?
Shoot. I mean, I don't know. I'm just trying to, I mean, I know everybody's going to be tough. And I just kind of want to let the next fights play out. Maybe the next two play out. Then I kind of want to start, you know, jotting down some names. But right now it's just bring me my next UFC fight.
Wow, that's make some big headlines right there. Come on, dude, give us. We gotta.
No, you're always starting shit.
What about 145, right?
Yeah, 145.
What about O'Malley?
He's 35.
Oh, he's 35. Damn. Who's 45? What about Max Holloway?
That's just my buddy. Maybe like that guy that, I mean, he just lost, but like this guy, Peter Barrett. I think that would be a good one.
Yeah, hear that, Peter Barrett? You're fucking going down Hawaiian style. Yeah. He's gonna put an apple in your mouth when he knocks you out.
Yeah. What do you think about fighting Andre Feely?
Ooh. That'd be a good one too. That'd be a good one.
Oh wow, those are some fighting words right there. You hear that, Feely? Fucking.
That would be a good one. Well, you can see Jake, but all of the people who have kids understand exactly what Jake's doing.
So Jake's driving his kids. This guy's getting a haircut. Our other guy can't see. And then Chang wants to talk about the good old days back in the 1920 when he fought guys in PKA.
Okay, it wasn't the 1920. It was the 1930s. Settle down.
This is quite the podcast. We have a blind guy, a guy getting a haircut, a guy with a minivan, and cops over here. Fucking.
1 minute we're talking about Stipe and DC. The next minute, Adam's talking about Antifa.
Yeah, it's okay.
How do you make that leap? Like,
all right. Well, listen, this has been a great podcast. Josh, any more questions for these guys?
Yeah. Okay. Right. So, this is a tough one for me. When you've been hit, right? So you've already been hit in the head. How do you gather yourself to not just leave? You know what I mean? I feel like, because here's the thing, I'm not a shit talker. So all the fights I've been in really have just been like, we're at an impasse. You know what I mean? The fight's about to happen. But mid-fight, they'll hit you with a good one. And you're like, I don't know if I care enough about this anymore to keep fighting.
Jake, how do you not leave during the fights when you get hit?
I mean, listen, like when Mike Tyson said, everyone's got a plan until you get hit in the mouth, that's so true because... like you're gonna get hit, and kind of like we were saying, you gotta prepare for audibles. At the end of the day, like when you get hit, and you see stars, you get dazed. It's gonna come down to how bad you want to be in there. It's easy to just kind of turn around. But
I'll answer the question for Josh. This guy Jake Ellenberger, he grew up on a farm. He joined the wrestling team in college without ever wrestling before. Never wrestled a day. Just walked onto the college wrestling team, which is fucking insane. Then he did bare knuckle boxing at Pat Miletich's gym with Tim Sylvia, with his buddies back in Iowa, and he joined the Marines, and he's got three kids and he's not married. Okay, so it's just that's the kind of person. All right, it's this guy, wow. this guy Kai Kamaka. His father was a fighter. His grandfather was a fighter. His cousin's a fighter. His brother's. A wide receiver, like he had no choice. Okay, it was like a fight camp. It was like toddler fight camp back in Hawaii, right? He went to Nebraska to leave the family, and everybody followed him to kick his ass. It's a different type of person. Okay, Josh, you're a nice kid. You're smart. Okay, somebody hits you, you're like, I'm out of here. These guys, they're born into it. It's a different. There's some shit missing. You know, am I right, Jake, Kai?
I think you have to be like, I mean, nobody likes getting hit first, but you kind of have to be used to getting hit. You know, you have to at least be getting hit at least a decently hard shots, at least just to know that this is what you want to do. I mean, yeah, you're going to get hard a little bit in practice, but at least you're a little bit more prepared for it. And then, yeah, there's times when you get hit, I mean, I'm not necessarily like I want to get out of there, but like oh shoot, I better do something. You know what I mean? I better get my wits back together and I better get moving, or else more shots are coming. But I don't necessarily feel like that because I'm kind of already used to it. If somebody hits me, I want to hit them back. So, I mean,
yeah. Not a person that gets a haircut in Target. Okay, during a pandemic, is the kind of person that like he's going to Target to get a haircut. Like who the fuck goes to Target to get a haircut?
No, my buddy's in he's in barber school, so I had to meet him. He moved from Hawaii, so
it's even worse. It's not even a real fucking haircut. He's trusting his friend to give him a haircut in Target, who's in barber school. Like what, are you guys in aisle 4? Like, are you guys, is that even legal? Like, people just walking around you trying to buy shit? Like,
It's
not Target.
It's not Target. Oh, it's not Target. I thought it was Target.
But it looks like, because we saw the pictures in the back, I thought, oh, wow, man, I need to pick up some pots. No, I think that, I wanted to say, Jake, it's very cool to even talk to you, man. I've always appreciated your fights. And Kai, I think you got a whole bunch of good shit in front of you, man. If you got, you keep that Thank natural you. Movement. Man, I was sitting there watching it. I was like, yo, you move more like I think a lot of boxers move. It's not MMA boxing. It's almost like moving. I think that's why when you were closing the distance on that guy, I was like, yo, Tony, you in trouble, bro.
Had a hard head. Tony was hard head, man.
He was getting pieced up.
Dude, that's the haircut you're going with? Are you kidding me? Dude, he needs to go back to school. Holy shit. What is he doing to you, bro? Like a D minus, like at least.
He hasn't even started yet, Adam.
Wow. All right.
You go, all right.
That's Adam, I'll give you the cut and it'll work, I promise.
You look like a Hawaiian lesbian right now.
I wanted to say, okay, Jake's the sound's off. Can you hear me, Jake?
Yeah, I got you.
I just want to say, man, the thing about me doing this, even Adam being kind enough to let me on the show, is that I get to talk to people like you, man, a fan, and I'm just, yo, man, you did your thing, man. You've always been like, to me, it's like, you're hardcore with it. And he talked about your three knockouts, and I was like, those weren't knockouts. Those were demolishings.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, those were rough. And they weren't no soft motherfuckers. They were serious.
Jake Shields. I mean.
Jake Shields, no joke.
Nate Marquardt. By the way, Josh, when you get glasses, make sure you give a pair to this guy's barber. Because fucking, I think you're not the only guy who's.
Yeah, what I was saying, you fought some serious motherfuckers and napped them. You just napped them. I just think that's
shit. And even supercuts is like, what the fuck's going on right now? All right, listen, people, we got to end the show.
Shit, man. Thank you.
Kai, it was great talking to you, Kai boy. I appreciate that, man. I look forward to, even though you won the fight, you're losing the haircut. Josh, thank you so much. Shang, you're the best. It looks good, Kai. It looks good. What's that guy's name behind you? That's your friend? All right, thanks, man. You guys are great. Take care and have a great week. Bye-bye. Түүний сонс тө хөгжим дөр болан. Та дас тоотан дөр болан.